The Female Poets of the 17th Century, Volume 1. For much of history, women have been seen rather than heard. Their thoughts, their views have lain too long in the shadows of our culture. Whilst this traditional view has some merit, it is not entirely accurate. Here, gathered together in this volume, we can, through their words, experience their lives. We can hear their voices, their thoughts, joys, loves, and losses. For the female poet, there was always the confining hand of men to instruct that their time was perhaps spent more productively elsewhere. These lines, these gilded verses, often protest otherwise. The contribution of women in these earlier centuries is immense, and in this series we bring together poets who have created some of the most beautiful and expressive lines ever written. And remember, these words, these telling lines, have been written against the grain of society's male bias. With their remembered words, these female poets have given us a history that we can all now share.
To My Dear and Loving Husband, by Anne Bradstreet. If ever two were one, then surely we. If ever man were loved by wife, then thee. If ever wife was happy in a man, compare with me, ye women, if you can. I prize thy love more than whole mines of gold, or all the riches that the East doth hold. My love is such that rivers cannot quench, nor aught but love from thee give recompense. Thy love is such I can no way repay. The heavens reward thee manifold, I pray. Then while we live, in love let's so persever, that when we live no more, we may live ever.
Love Armed, by Aphra Behn. Love in fantastique triumph sat, whilst bleeding hearts around him flowed, for whom fresh pains he did create, and strange tyrannic power he showed. From thy bright eyes he took his fire, which round about in sport he hurled. But 'twas from mine he took desire, enough to undo the amorous world. From me he took his sighs and tears, from thee his pride and cruelty. From me his languishments and fears, and every killing dart from thee. Thus thou and I the god have armed, and set him up a deity. But my poor heart alone is harmed, whilst thine the victor is, and free. Against Love, by Catherine Phillips. Hence, Cupid, with your cheating toys, your real griefs and painted joys, your pleasure which itself destroys. Lovers, like men in fevers, burn and rave, and only what will injure them do crave. Men's weakness makes love so severe, they give him power by their fear, and make the shackles which they wear. Who to another does his heart submit, makes his own idol, and then worships it? Him whose heart is all his own, peace and liberty does crown, he apprehends no killing frown. He feels no raptures which are joys diseased, and is not much transported, but still pleased. Love, the Soul of Poetry, by Anne Killigrew. When first Alexis did in verse delight, his muse in low but graceful numbers walked, and now and then a little proudly stalked, but never aimed at any noble flight. The herds, the groves, the gentle purling streams adorned his song and were his highest themes. But love these thoughts, like mists, did soon disperse, enlarged his fancy and set free his muse, biding him more illustrious subjects choose. The act of gods and godlike men rehearse, from thence new raptures did his breast inspire, his scarce warm heart converted was to fire. The exalted poet,
raised by this new flame, with vigour flies where late he crept along, an axe divine in a diviner song, commits to the eternal trump of fame, and thus Alexis does prove love to be, as the world's soul, the soul of poetry. The Wish by Lady Mary Chudley. Would but indulgent fortune send to me a kind and faithful friend, one who to virtue's lore is true, and does her nicest rules pursue. One pious, liberal, just and brave, and to his passions not a slave, who full of honour, void of pride, will freely praise and freely chide, but not indulge the smallest fault, nor entertain one slighting thought, who still the same will ever prove, who will instruct and still will love, in whom I safely may confide, and with him all my cares divide, who has a large capacious mind, joined with a knowledge unconfined, a reason bright, a judgment true, a wit both quick and solid too, who can of all things talk with ease, and whose converse will ever please, who, charmed with wit and inward graces, despises fools with tempting faces, and still a beauteous mind does prize above the most enchanting eyes. I would not envy queens their state, nor once desire a happier fate. Constantinople by Lady Mary Wortley Montagu. Give me, great God, said I, a little farm in summer shady, and in winter warm, where a cool spring gives birth to a clear brook, by nature sliding down a mossy rock, not artfully in leaden pipes conveyed, or greatly falling in a forced cascade, pure and unsullied, winding through ye shade. All bounteous heaven has added to my prayer a softer climate and a purer air. Our frozen isle, now chilling winter binds, deformed by rains and rough with blasting winds, ye withered woods grown white with hoary frost, by driving storms their scattered beauties lost. The trembling birds their leafless coverts shun, and seek in distant climes a warmer sun. The water nymphs their silenced urns deplore, even Thames benumbed a river now no more. The barren meadows give no more delight, by glistening snows made painful to ye sight. Fair fertile fields to warm indulgent heaven has every charm of every season given. No killing cold deforms ye beauteous year, the springing flowers no coming winter fear. But as ye parent rose decays and dies, ye infant buds with brighter colours rise, and with fresh sweets ye mother scent supplies. Near them the villae glows with odours blessed, and blooms in more than Tyrian purple dressed. The rich jonquils their golden gleam display, and shine in glory's emulating day. These cheerful groves their living leaves retain, the streams still murmur undefiled by rain, and growing green adorns ye fruitful plain. The warbling kind uninterrupted sing, warmed with enjoyment of perpetual spring. Here from my window I at once survey the crowded city and resounding sea. In distant views see Asian mountains rise and lose their snowy summits in ye skies. Above those mountains high Olympus towers, the parliamental seat of heavenly powers.